Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI COVID Response Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for the hour, together with Ann Kinzel, who is hosting again via Zoom.
Thanks for joining in and listening. Did you know that the overwhelming majority of businesses in Iowa have less than 500 employees? We'll be speaking with the Small Business Development Center this hour about what is happening to small businesses right now due to the COVID-19 situation. But some good news. Ames received more than $350,000 in funds as part of its annual community block grant funds allotment. Vanessa Baker-Latimer will be stopping by to explain what that means and how you can get involved with spending that money.
Before we get started, I want to make sure you know about EcoFair. The city of Ames always holds EcoFair every spring on the Saturday after Earth Day down at City Hall. And this is when many people, including me, look forward to going down to the City Hall building to see booths, exhibits, demonstrations, and hear presentations and just generally connect with community and honoring the planet through sustainable living in our on the local level. Well, of course, like everything else, Eco Fair at City Hall has to be canceled because of you know what. But never fear, Eco Fair is coming to you. This will be brought to you by the City of Ames and KHOI over these very airwaves, 89.1 FM, here at KHOI on Saturday, April 25th, when it should have been held at City Hall. Tune in to KHOI, the City of Ames Fresh Air Eco Fair right here on KHOI from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So when we realized that the City Hall would not be able to host Eco Fair, and the city had to close the in-person event, it was clear that a lot of valuable information would be lost. So at KHOI, we decided to approach the city about collaborating to bring it to the airwaves instead and into your homes. And they agreed to adapt with us. Pat Schlarbaum, who is another Local Talk host, and myself will be hosting the entire day with various city staff. So we're looking forward to doing that. It's a big experiment as part of the adaptation process that we're all going through, right? As part of the process, Pat Schlarbaum has been connecting with environmentalists around the state who are also sending their own Earth Day messages on Saturday to show solidarity and support for what the city of Ames is doing and what we are all experiencing here in Ames. Pat, can you give a brief history of exactly what Earth Day is and how it came about?
Well, in 1970, the ravages of the 1960s had been occurring. There were massive oil spills, I think, in Santa Barbara, California in 1969, and that was the first indication that something had gone amiss when thousands of wildlife were being negatively impacted. And then when the Cuyahoga River caught on fire just outside Cleveland, Ohio, I think that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And there were a lot of Sierra Club members in Wisconsin and garden clubs, and they started engaging their legislature to review some of these policies that were simply unregulated. If the river was there to take the pollutants away, that was just fine. And there were many people that were very concerned about the DDT that was being sprayed, and they were showing up at committee meetings, they meaning the women of the Sierra Club in Wisconsin, to show 5-gallon buckets of dead robins. And that's not a very pleasant discussion, but that's what was happening. And there was a senator, the junior senator of Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, who embraced this idea of trying to turn this ship around, if you will. And there was some lobbying being done, and then a young man named Dennis Hayes really started coordinating with universities and having teach-ins. And what seemed to be a good idea in 1970 started gathering steam in 71 and 72, to where in 1990, the Earth Day went global. It's had a reflective impact on our culture since the 1970s. One thing about it, even with the COVID-19 and the cancellations of the Eco Fair, the earth did not stop turning, and the earth will go on. So I think it's good to adapt as we can, and the local programming that our station manager, Ursula Rudenberg, has put together with the city, key people, the leaders of our city, to proceed with this Eco Fair on Saturday is quite commendable. And
it should be a really interesting experiment, right? It's an ambitious project that the city has kind of taken a leap of faith on doing with us. None of us have ever tried anything like this before.
Yeah. There is a learning curve of 8 hours of programming, but those presenters are seeming to really embrace. They had messages that they wanted to share. So they're recording, and we have vignettes, I think you mentioned, of the naturalists, little segments that have been recruited, and they've really come up well, and we've got three of those.
Yeah, I wanted to just give a little bit of a taste, a teaser of what kind of people are gathering around us virtually through recordings and through telephone and through the airwaves. Yeah. So I'm going to play three of the people that have called in so far to send their greetings to the event on Saturday. And I took the liberty of putting them to music, so it kind of holds it together as a little little piece. Pat, tell us who these people are.
Well, to start off with, John Stravers is a voice that's known to a lot of our KHOI listeners. He's the Hawkman of the Driftless area in northeast Iowa, and he's also a musician. But we've been working together with Red Shouldered Hawks for over 40 years now. And Chris Atkins, another strong, powerful environmental voice from the Dallas County Conservation Board, who oversees the Prairie Awakening that we've covered here at the station. And also Mike Hovlick from Madrid. We'll kind of round off his impressions or why Earth Day still matters.
Okay, so let's take a listen to these gentlemen.
John Stravers, I'm the director of the Driftless Area Bird Conservation, and I've been doing red-shouldered hawk work for the last 42 years. I remember I had just gotten out of the service when they celebrated the first Earth Day. There was a lot of different things that went on, but I remember thinking this is a good idea, that people need to start paying attention, and I think it's even more true today. I understand the importance of people being more interested in how the planet works and the balance of the Earth. Now more than ever, we need to understand the balance of the Earth and stay closer to it.
Hey, greetings. This is Chris Atkins. I'm the Naturalist Environmental Education Coordinator for Dallas County Conservation, and I'm also kind of one of the old dogs who have been around that can recant the notion of I remember where I was in April of 1970 and the first Earth Day. And to me, what I guess I have learned and what Earth Day means to me is when I started on this journey all those years ago, I thought that my mission was to help to heal this place we call home and to bring wildness and sanity back to it. And in the process of doing that, I've had the epiphany that what we're really trying to do is as we heal this land, we are healing ourselves. The connection between the two of us, obviously, it's always been there in a scientific perspective for me, but to make that spiritual connection and realize that there's reciprocity here and that as this land heals us and we return and heal it, there's a beautiful kinship that you can step inside of as we circle the sun. Hope you all feel that healing that's shared between all of us, and let's enjoy this and smile. It's a good day.
Thank you so much, Chris Atkins, naturalist with the Dallas County Conservation Board.
My name is Mike Hovlick. I've been a naturalist for 26 years, working a lot in residential, having people stay overnight in the outdoors and having experiences. And I've been doing that for a while. I'm currently at Dallas County Conservation. just to have a few words about Earth Day. And a long time ago, I had a struggle with the word Earth Day, because if something happens to this planet, Earth is going to continue on. It's going to continue on. It's us who, I think, is our concern. And so I always jokingly called it Humanity Day, that we're talking about people. And I really got to think about that too, with my role as being a naturalist. Earth Day is about our connection to the Earth. It's not Earth separate from us or people separate from the Earth. It's about our relationship. And nature helps us focus on something other than pain and suffering. This COVID-19 is a perfect example. We're, a lot of us think of pain and suffering being far off in the future, or we have houses and TVs and stuff that keep us away from this. And COVID-19 has put that humanity right front and center. And it's interesting to see how people are coping with that humanity being front and center. They're instinctively going to nature. I've never seen our parks so busy. I've never seen so many people out walking on trails. You drive around town at night and people are out playing in their yards. And so I think it's interesting when we're faced with our humanity, we instinctively go to nature. And we have people reaching out for us for identifying birds and identifying plants. I've been spending some time with the Lakota. They have a phrase, Matakwi Oyasin, which means we are all related, or broken down further, it means these are my relatives. If you really want to understand a carrot, you should plant the seed, go out and identify which is the carrot shoot, water it, bring it out of the ground, and then eat it, and then plant it again. Now you have a relationship with that carrot, not just, I went to the store and bought a carrot. You see a bluebird, you don't just identify it as a bluebird. You say, I understand its nest, its egg, its fledgling, its life cycle. So it's not just seeing something and naming it, it's having a relationship. That's kind of my take on Earth Day. We all have a relationship to the Earth. We all have an invisible umbilical cord that connects us to the Earth. So as I say, Matakwi Oyasin, these are my relatives, and we are all related.
And thank you, John Stravers, Chris Atkins, Mike Hovlick, for those Earth Day thoughts. And it was such a nice link to, or it was such an important link to the COVID-19 situation that we're confronting. And people are noticing from Beijing to Paris, the air is cleaner. I think it's an opportunity for our culture to become reflective on some of these changes. And when we hit the reset and go back to our normal lives, there'll be some things that this is obviously influencing us. And it is an Earth Day to remember.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pat, for bringing these people together. And there's many, many more, right, that are gathering. And you'll be hearing them on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 25th, with the first and it's the 10th annual Eco Fair here in Ames. It's the 50th annual Earth Day, and it's the first it's the first annual Eco Fair, Fresh Air Eco Fair on the air.
Yeah,
KHOI partnering with the City of Ames. So join us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and listen in on some of the really fantastic people from around the city, around the university, and all around the state, mm-hmm. speaking about our environment and the future. The future. There is a future despite mm-hmm. the incredible crisis that we are all being gathered around to confront. Mm-hmm. And this is Local Talk on KHOI COVID Response Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, hosting today with Ann Kinzel, who is hosting us via Zoom.
That's right. I'm pretty excited about this virtual Earth Day. Congratulations to KHOI and the city for putting that together.
Big experiment.
Yeah. Lots of our lives are big experiments now.
That's right.
Today we have Stacy Dyer, Associate State Director for the Small Business Development Center. Welcome, Stacy.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So this is without doubt the most unusual time in your work in terms of what you're doing with businesses. So let's just jump right in and start with, what does the SBDC do?
All right. Well, first of all, SBDC stands for Small Business Development Center. And we are a nationwide network. We're funded primarily through the Small Business Administration. The state of Iowa, we receive some state funds as well. And so we are able to offer our services at no cost to small businesses. We are hosted by Iowa State University, so we're located out at the Research Park, but that's our state office. We have 15 regional centers across the state, and our regional centers are the ones that offer the one-on-one business coaching. They offer workshops and other opportunities for businesses. Typically, what we do is help with business plans, help at every stage of business from when you have your idea, we call it pre-venture, to launching your business, to growing your business, and then to exiting your business. And our regional directors do a great job of advising, and there's so many different situations that the one-on-one advising is really the greatest benefit that we offer. And it's just really simple for people to get connected to our advisors. They just go to our website and request counseling and set up a time to get together and start chatting about their business needs.
So, Stacy, it sounds like you do a lot of one-on-one work with small businesses as they're starting up and going through the business cycle. How is COVID, with our inability to meet face-to-face, affecting your work and the people you serve?
So we talk a lot with our clients about sometimes during the business cycle, you need to pivot. And what you were doing may not work anymore, depending on the clients you serve or the market that you serve. And beginning in the middle of March, we totally had to pivot our operations. And we had to, we're all working remotely, but we have not skipped a beat. Thankful for things like Zoom, like what we're doing right now. And of course, just having technology really helps. But we went from doing our typical a lot of startup work and growth work to how is my business going to survive this? And we typically serve in fiscal year 19, we helped about 3,700 individual businesses in Iowa. In the first 2 weeks when COVID-19 hit and we were supposed to start staying home, we had about 2,000 calls
in a week.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
And it was, and that was when all of the SBA relief funding was coming out and people wanted, and the Iowa Economic Development Authority had the small business grants. And so people were calling, how do I get access to these funds? Even though it had just happened, I mean, when the state forced businesses to close, people were in panic mode and wondering how they're going to survive, how they're going to support their employees. So, yeah, it was a major change to us just learning about the programs. And as I'm sure everyone has seen, rules changed as they were launched. And it was, you know, just a lot of information overload. We put up a page on our website filled with COVID-19 resources. We really link in with a lot of our other partners across the state, like Iowa Workforce Development, with the Iowa Economic Development Authority, Iowa Department of Revenue, and then also with SBA, since they're a major partner of ours. But yeah, so it was a lot all at once.
Vanessa,
sounds,
Vanessa, no,
sounds amazing.
If I understand correctly, the funds for the personal protection, well, the small business loans that came out of the CARE Act, those are basically have been used up now, right?
Yeah. So there were two different types of loans that were available. The first one that came out was called an EIDL loan. Working with government, I've realized that everything has an acronym, but it's Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And those were the first to come out. And then a couple weeks later, the Paycheck Protection Program came out, PPP. And just to give a couple of stats, this is kind of interesting. The first round of the Paycheck Protection Program, those loans are meant to keep people on the payroll and to keep people employed. And of course, there's a huge demand for them. And the first amount of money or first round of funding was about $350 billion. Some stats on that. There were 1.6 million loans that were approved by SBA for that. And those were done through the local lending institutions. So you had to go to your banker to get those loans or anyone that was SBA approved lender. And so 1.6 million loans were approved. In Iowa, there were 29,000 loans for $4.3 billion. So there was a lot of money that came back to our economy with those loans here in Iowa. When SBA started that program, they had 1,800 approved lenders across the nation. By the next 2 weeks, they had 5,000 because everybody needed to have access to those funds. And they told us that what SBA typically does in 14 years for loans, they did it in 13 days.
Wow. Stacy, these funds are essentially public funds that are being redistributed. Mm-hmm. So if Iowans wanted to know who was getting money and how much, would they be able to do that?
We have just seen cumulative numbers, not the exactly who got the funds.
Is that information going to be available?
I don't know that.
Stacy, yeah. The kind of obvious question that comes to mind then, though, is that these loans, now KHOI got a loan, and essentially it covers 2 months of operations.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. It's a lifesaver for us. But in 2 months, we are not anticipating everything going back to the way it was. So what happens after 2 months to when this money is spent? How does the future look?
First of all, I don't work directly for SBA. Uh-huh. So I work for an organization that's affiliated with SBA. And we're the business consulting organization of SBA. SBA is the lending arm of the U.S. government for small businesses and disasters.
But it must be something that you're thinking about.
Oh, everybody's thinking about that. And with the Congress had approved $310 billion more dollars towards PPP, we don't know. We have not received any guidance yet of are they going to fund the loans that are in the queue that didn't get the first appropriation, if people have to reapply. We don't have any of those rules yet.
Wow. So we don't really know where we're headed.
Nope. So, Stacy, when you work with small businesses, first tell us exactly how you define a small business.
Sure. We go according to SBA's definition, and it is businesses that are 500 employees or less. So to us, it might seem like, wow, 500 employees is a big business, but that's their definition. So we're able to work with all different types of industries. And we do a lot of just connecting people to different resources. And our advisors, we bring in speakers all the time, learn about different programs that are available for small businesses, and just try to get them at least connected with someone who can help them with their situation.
So how many small businesses are there in Iowa?
You know what? I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I know that we have about almost 4,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey, COVID is scary on a personal level for all of us, but what's the fear that you're seeing in the small business community?
I think the big fear is that they'll be able to stay open or stay in operation. It's been uplifting for us to see people be very creative and try to come up with new ways to still earn revenue. And I mean, I'm sure you see it right in Main Street and Ames of curbside delivery, online ordering, doing what they can, and especially if they're mandated to close and they're concerned about their employees. And the small businesses, a lot of them are family owned, but they're also, their employees are their family too. And so it's very, very stressful. And I mean, it's their livelihood. And like Ursula had said, the payroll or the Paycheck Protection Program is a good start, but that's just for payroll. Primarily, there's a couple other things that you can claim under that. But, you know, there's a lot of operating expenses. The other concerns are with their leases, with like their commercial leases. Can they pay that? How does that affect? So then you have the trickle down to the property owners who that's their livelihood is, you know, developing these properties and renting them out. And so it's just it gets overwhelming very quickly of how it affects just everyone.
So the economic devastation is truly incredible. You're right, Stacey. But all of us want to support small businesses in Iowa the way that we can, that our finances allow us to now. I understand you have a 5-day challenge at the SBDC.
We do. We wanted to do something kind of fun and encouraging. So we sent out our media release this morning, and we're just encouraging everybody who would like to participate. It's just a series of videos that we're sharing on our social media. And so look at our Facebook page, our Twitter account, our LinkedIn, and each day will be a different challenge. Some examples are on Monday to choose 3 businesses and comment on their social media and share their social media page. Another day is to buy online from an artisan who can no longer attend a market, like a farmer's market type thing. Wednesday is write a Google review. Thursday is buy an online gift card. And then Friday is send 5 small businesses a carrying message. And so just simple things that you can do. And we just wanted to just send a little message of hope and, you know, that we're all here to support small businesses. And I've noticed on social media, it's been really fun seeing people say, hey, I picked up delivery from or takeaway from this restaurant or that restaurant, or I ordered this online from a Main Street business. And so I know that people are really trying to support in the way that they can. And helpful. I mean, it doesn't solve everything, but everything is helpful.
That's great.
Well, your organization will be there when we start to move forward to help businesses in that respect,
yes,
as well.
And that's the other thing that we're starting to plan for is the other side of this and the recovery mode, which we all hope will be here sooner rather than later. It's hard to know right now, but once we can start opening back up, now what?
Yeah, thank you, Stacey, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back soon to talk about that and what's happening in that area as we all kind of move forward into the great unknown. Stacey Dreyer is the Associate State Director of Small Business Development Center, which is located here in Ames, but it's a statewide organization, and we really thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, and you both take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Vento na terra, vento ao sol, vento no meu coração. Vento na terra, vento ao sol, vento no meu coração.
This is Local Talk on KHOI, COVID Response Pivot Radio. I love that word. I got a new word today, pivot. Love it. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, hosting today with Ann Kinzel, who is hosting us via Zoom.
Yeah, aren't we all pivoting these days?
Yeah.
So let's pivot right into Vanessa Baker-Latimer, the housing coordinator with Planning and Housing Department in Ames. Hey,
pivoting.
Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa. There you are, pivoting. And also, Susan Guiazda has joined us as well. Hi, Susan.
Susan, tell us a little bit about how you're pivoting today before we get into it with Vanessa.
Well, I'm not as good as pivoting as Vanessa is, clearly. But we do have a couple of different announcements this week, just in general city news. As you all know, we'll be hosting the virtual Eco Fair with you all on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're really excited to showcase our city speakers who otherwise would have been at our actual Eco Fair, which was scheduled for this Saturday. So I cannot thank you enough for helping us to bring this information to the citizens.
Thank you for your leap of faith, Susan.
I'm really looking forward to it. One of the components of the Eco Fair that we were not able to do in person was the Eco Scavenger Hunt, but we've transitioned that online. So you can go to cityofames.org/ecoscavengerhunt and go through a series of tasks, most of them from your home, attach a couple of pictures that you can get those pictures using safe social distancing and send them to us and you could win some prizes. So that's really kind of an exciting twist on the old-fashioned scavenger hunt concept. The other thing that we're doing, which is kind of fun, is called a virtual energy audit. And I didn't quite get the concept of this. It's we offer a home energy audit for Ames Electric Services customers where a expert would go into your home and give you a customized plan on how to reduce your energy consumption. This virtual energy audit means you take an expert with you through your phone or tablet, and you take that person on a tour of your home, and they then provide you with a customized energy audit that way. And so it'll be different, but I'm interested in how it works and intrigued by the whole concept. So things to look forward to.
Well, that's pretty cool. I don't know if I want somebody just walking around my home, me and my tablet. You know, in this COVID time, things can get a little bit lax in the home.
Yeah, but you know what else? You know, the phrase that comes to mind is necessity is the mother of invention, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So yeah. That would be an interesting way to get some tips without actually having somebody in your home. But and wherever you shine that tablet or phone, that's completely up to you.
Well, good to know, Susan. So, Vanessa, You're our housing coordinator with planning and housing, and I understand that Ames has received about $350,000 in additional funding as part of our annual community block grant funds. Before we get into it, just how much do we usually get?
Our allocation varies every year, but this year we got just over $500,000 of our regular CDBG allocation. And then we just got this special allocation of CARES Act funding, COVID-19, of $354,000. And that's going to be used to prevent, prepare, and respond to the COVID-19 virus in our community.
So the original grant will go towards what it was supposed to, and then the new grant goes towards other things.
Right.
So that's quite a bit larger chunk of change that you received there.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us first, what is the CDBG block grant usually fund?
Our usual allocation for CDBG goes for a variety of eligible activities. It can go for housing, economic development. It could go for disaster assistance, homeless assistance. The last couple of years, we've been trying to focus our allocation on developing our site at 321 State Avenue to create a housing subdivision.
So these new funds, what are you going to use them for?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. That's why right now we're in the process of doing a public comment notice to get feedback from the community to find out what the needs are. So I've been advertising and talking to various groups like human service agencies. I'm talking to lenders. I'm talking to landlords. I'm talking to realtors. I'm talking to neighborhood groups, just to get some idea of what they think that we could use the funding for. Now, here's the twist on it. The announcement of money came out before all of the regulations. So there have been some regulations that have been waived from our traditional regulations, and then there's some that are still in transition. So I just decided to go ahead and try to get public input now on ideas, and then once they finalize the regulations, I can take those ideas and then layer them into what the regulations are going to be for us to administer the program.
What's an example of a regulation, Vanessa? When you say that, what kind of things do those turn out to be?
So they're in HUDs. The whole Congress is in the process of waiving their statutory requirements. Like, for one, the first thing that came out was, typically, when we get CDBG funding, we have to go out and do a 30-day comment period for feedback. That's been waived down to 5 days. Okay. Now we have to amend our current 2019 CDBG annual action plan, but they reduced that time frame to get that done so that the money can get out there. Extended the time frame for new programs to come out, and we're trying to figure out. They've also lifted some criteria on. So typically, CDBG can only fund 15% of public service activities, and what I mean by public service activities, that's like helping people with deposit, first month's rent, utilities, child care assistance, transportation assistance. Usually only 15% of our grant funds can be used. They've lifted that cap off so that now there's no cap. And so if you got your whole allocation, you could use it all on public services if you wanted to, where traditionally you would cap at 15%. So the waivers are going back and forth. Right now we still have a cap on who can receive the funds as far as income. So there's still things that are in transition.
Sure. So when you say you're inviting public comment or public feedback, how does the public do that?
Okay, well, I've set up two ways. I've set up an email address called cdbgcares2020 at cityofames.org. That's all one word, cdbgcares@2020@cityofames.org. And I'll put that on the chat box before I hang up today, so you'll have that. And I also, we have a hotline number that people can call and leave their comments as well. And that number is 515-239-5380.
Repeat that number.
515-239-5380. And I'll put that information on the chat. Okay. Susan's putting it out there.
And Vanessa, now say I am somebody who wants to try and make a comment. What should I be asking myself? I mean, how do I approach this? What are my parameters? You know, what should I be asking myself in terms of how to make a comment? Like, am I supposed to be thinking, what am I supposed to be thinking about?
Well, the funds are specifically geared for COVID-19 related items. So used to prevent it, that could be testing, that could be, you know, ways to educate people about how to social distance and what that means, to prepare for it, like, you know, setting up test clinics or helping people get resources they would not otherwise have or need for this, and then respond to things like, because of this pandemic, of course, people have lost their jobs, they're on unemployment, there's a moratorium on rent payments and mortgage payments, and utilities. And so people, if they're not employed, could be affected by not being able to make those ends meet. There could be food shortages that we're having, where we started off strong, but now our food banks are getting smaller. So it's in that gamut specifically related to COVID-19.
Yeah, Vanessa, you've been talking to people in the community. What are you hearing as the concerns, and perhaps how this money should be spent?
Well, some of the concerns I heard yesterday was utilities, people not getting these large utility bills that they have not been able to pay because they got laid off from work. Same thing with rent payments. When I talk to landlords, people are behind in their rents. And same thing with people trying to their mortgage payments. So those are some of the things that I've heard yesterday that was an issue as well. And then also trying to find shelter and hotel rooms for people who are homeless and don't have a place to stay, you know, how we address those types of COVID-19 issues.
So with this money that is being put on the table here, could this money be used to actually help individuals and individual people and individual businesses who are having trouble paying rent or paying utilities? Could it really be taken to that level?
It's kind of wide open within the eligible activities or CDBG. Yes, we could help small business loans or give them forgivable loans. We could do helping the hospital. We could help. You know, it's a wide range of possibilities. That's the part that's very stressful for me right now, because $354,000 is not a lot of money when you have that gambit of need. And now you have a lot more people who could fall under the income requirements typically that we would have because they're unemployed.
So say I'm an individual who can't make rent and or can't even pay my utilities bill anymore. Would it make sense for me to contact, to give you feedback that I personally wanted help?
Certainly. I mean, those are the kind of needs that I want to hear about, even though I figured out that's probably some of the bigger needs. I just don't know all the specific needs or if there's some out there that I'm not aware of that, you know, people might want to share.
Wow. This is, you know, earlier we had the image of the pivot given to us by the Small Business Association Development Committee. And you are following that image of the pivot. I kind of see you right now kind of like a basketball player who has the ball and is pivoting around and in around and around trying to figure out where you can go next, right?
It feels like a juggling act because I know we can't address every need, uh-huh. and then trying to prioritize the need is quite a daunting task right now, knowing that I don't know if we can help everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. But we certainly will try to impact as much as we can with the dollars that we have. I don't know if we're going to get more money in the future, but this is what we have right now. And just going through all the hoops just to try to get it on the street is where we are right now.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. And do you have any other, we need to move on pretty quickly. You have any other comment?
One more comment, just for the public to know that claiming AIMS is the reason why we get CDBG funds and why we've gotten COVID-19 funds. So continue to claim AIMS, because that's how we get grant funds.
And by the census.
And by claiming AIMS.
On the census.
On the census. Answer your census.
Good advice. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. Right. And we'll put that information on our website, too. Thank you so much for stopping by.
You guys be safe. Be well.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. Thank you, too.
That was Vanessa Baker Latimer, Housing Coordinator with Planning and Housing Department here at the City of Ames.
Together, we are flattening the curve but building up our community with these heart-to-heart messages brought to you by KHOI to keep us connected to love, comfort, and each other during this time of social distancing. And after listening to Vanessa, I think even more so I'm happy of how I'm starting today's segment, because our last time together, I presented a heart-to-heart message at the end of the local talk this week. But I was rushed, and so I thought it was worth sharing again to start today's segment. It comes from this book, The Story of Life, Native American Wisdom, and this story is titled Little Hummingbird. Once there was a great forest fire, and all the birds and animals rushed to escape. Hummingbird went to the river and collected a drop of water. The other birds laughed. "What are you doing?" they asked. She replied, "I'm doing what I can." So I want to thank everyone at KHOI today, Ursula, Ann, Pat, and Mike, for doing everything they can to make a difference, for each of the local talk guests, all the small business owners, Stacy, Vanessa, and Susan. And I think you could feel in that last message with Vanessa, the overwhelming amount of work that needs to be done. And there's more resources, but there's still so much need that it can feel overwhelming. But we're all doing what we can to make a difference during this time of COVID-19. And a thank you to all those planning and presenting EcoFair with KHOI. That's a lot of work, and we're doing all that we can to get through COVID-19 and pivoting. Pivot, pivot, pivot. I feel like I'm pivoting, Ursula, so much so that I'm overwhelmingly dizzy. Really not funny, is it? Goodness gracious. We're pivoting so much, we're in a state of discombobulation, I think. So the next heart-to-heart message is definitely in the category of things that make you go, This was submitted by a person who did not want his or her name identified. Another thing that makes you go, and this is perfectly fine to be an anonymous participant, and I will read it unless it violates the FCC rules and regulations, because I don't want to get in trouble. So don't worry, Ursula, don't be pushing that button. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to be saying any of the words. And I will read it, especially if I like what the message has to say. This person is not the author, I believe, but they wanted to share this. One day, a wise man was asked a question, what is time? His answer was, yesterday, today, tomorrow. The one who asked the question was disappointed. That's it? Well, the wise man said, then listen to this story. There was today which wanted to become always. Yesterday said, I also wanted to become always when I was you. Did you always wonder how it does that? Inquired today. And by changing was its answer by coming tomorrow from today. But that means, today thought, that always does not belong to itself. It is always someone else. It means that something is making it do that. But what is it? Yesterday said, maybe it's time. What is time? Today asked. It's only you and me, and also tomorrow. The one who was asking the wise man said nothing more because another person who was silent before joined the conversation. But wise man, it means that the time is the thing that passes, and that is wrong. It can also last by stopping. The wise man looked at him with curiosity and answered with a smile, you are right. Sometimes today can last hundreds and thousands of years before it passes. Sometimes it feels like yesterday has come back and we are living in it. There's a little bit of tomorrow and yesterday and in today, but we rarely recognize it. It turns out that there is only this trinity. Well, it feels like after reading that I'm in class, in a trigonometry class, left scratching my head. But thank you to this nameless person who sent this into Anna Banana for all of us to ponder its meaning and how it is applicable to how we are thinking about and defining time during the COVID-19 days of social distancing. So now I would like to selfishly use this time to give a birthday heart-to-heart message to my dad. His birthday is today, and I would like to read this poem in honor of this Taurian and all those celebrating a birthday today. The poem is The Story of Ferdinand the Bull by Matt Mason. Dad would come home after too long at work, and I'd sit on his lap to hear the story of Ferdinand the Bull every night. Me handing him the red book until I knew every word, couldn't read, just recite along with drawings of a gentle bull, frustrated matadors, the all-important bee and flowers. Flowers and meadows and flowers thrown by the Spanish ladies. It's lesson really about not being what you're born into, but what you're born to be. Even if that means not caring about the capes that wave in your face or the spears that cut into your shoulders. And Dad, wonderful Dad, came home after too long at work and read to me the same story every night until I knew every word, couldn't read, just recite. So happy birthday to all those sharing a birthday today or in April. And if you would like to respond to these messages, I invite you to call or text me, Anna Banana, at 515-809-0077. We hope that our heart-to-heart messages inspire you to connect to our community. You can also email us at khoiradio@gmail.com. And from the bottom of our hearts, KHOI and Anna Banana, thank you for listening, and we send out our love to each of you today.
Thank you so much, Anna Banana Bread. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community COVID Response Pivot Radio. And remember that you can hear KHOI also online at khoifm.org and hear a copy of this show later today and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program.
This program is engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Michael. And thank you to our guests today, Stacy Dreyer with Small Business Development Corporation, Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer with the City of Ames, and Vanessa Baker-Latimer, the CDBG and Housing Planning Coordinator for the City of Ames, and of course, Anna Magnuson, known to us as Anna Banana Bread. I've been your host, Ann Kinsel, with co-hosts Ursula Rudenberg and Pat Schlarbaum.
And thank you, Anne. Thank you for working with us so beautifully and really enjoy working with you. Local Talk is a radio production workshop, so if you would like to also try your hand at reporting, we will train you. It's a little complicated these days, but it is still possible. over various technological machines that we have. And remember that you, the listener, are also what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Without you, we are just a bunch of smart people sitting in a room talking to nobody. So thank you for listening, and we will see you again on the radio. Day is coming, and even though you can't go to the Ames Eco Fair this year, never fear, Eco Fair is coming to you. Saturday, April 25th, hear the 10th annual Ames Eco Fair right here all day on KHOI. Tune in on Saturday, April 25th for an all-day Eco Fair broadcast starting at 9 a.m. here on KHOI, your community radio station. The 10th annual Ames Eco Fair that coronavirus could not stop is being produced in partnership between KHOI and the City of Ames.